Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:11 British Summertime. Today is April 2nd. And following the Easter break, we've had some rather dynamic action in a number of markets. In Japan yesterday, there was really quite a steep decline right across a number of sectors. And in here today, the Nikkei closed down about 1%, but that's not really reflective of what actually happened intraday, when the market recouped the majority of its earlier decline to leave quite a substantial tail. And that is pretty similar on the second section in Japan and also on the banks index. So what we've had in Japan has been a rather sharp pullback in the last five or six sessions. And the size of the pullback and the fact that we've had this bounce in here today suggests that demand might be beginning to return in this area, and really a close below today's low would be required to reaffirm the corrective phase. And perhaps the most likely scenario is that we get some ranging and allow the what has been really a very explosive advance over the last few months to unwind some of the overbought condition relative to the 200-day moving average and range, and by doing so, spend a little bit of time in this region before advancing further. And it is interesting that in conjunction with the stock market pulling back, the yen has been a bit firmer, and the new governor of the Bank of Japan is due to give one of his first big speeches this week. And we may have seen some profit-taking in advance of that, because while investors have largely been willing to give the Bank of Japan the benefit of the doubt over the last few months, we're getting into a stage now where the rubber is going to need to meet the road. And the structural reforms and the monetary policy reforms that have been promised will need to be delivered upon. And if they are, then we're going to have, in all likelihood, a magnificent medium-term advance in Japan, where they really do conquer the deflationary spiral that the economy has been in for 20 years. But we do need to see that structural reform program being put into place. You can really only talk up the market so much. In China, the market continues to be a little bit weaker, and it has unwound the majority of its overbought condition relative to the 200-day moving average and has steadied in the region of the MA. The housing market remains a focus of concern for the administration there, and they've been tightening because of inflationary pressures. One of the things that happened last week was that they changed the way that they've been subsidizing energy to encourage more efficiency, and that is certainly a positive in that it will encourage the refinery sector to produce cleaner burning fuels, and that will also help to contribute to fixing some of the environmental issues that they have in China, which are very considerable indeed. And in India, the head of Gujarat state has been promoted to the BJP's governing body. And that doesn't guarantee that he's going to become the prime ministerial candidate for the BJP in the next election. But it does raise his profile within the party. And the reason that that is important is because Gujarat, under his reign of the last 10 years, has really been the standout economic powerhouse of India. It's the only state, for example, that has excess electricity because he has installed such a huge amount of generating capacity to fuel the economic growth. And all of the problems about where there is sclerotic bureaucracy in India are absent in Gujarat, and that is largely a function of who's been in charge. And the reason that's important is because India is going to have an election in the next year, and there is the possibility that the BJP will once again become the largest party and have the opportunity to form a government, and who is in charge will have a very large bearing on exactly what happens with the Indian market. And it is worth looking at India over the last 10 years, because it has been ranging in the region of its previous peak, which, and this has been a range now that's been going on for nearly 5 years, for much of the last few months, and it was a little bit firmer in here today. The question, of course, is whether it is going to be able to push up out of this range and complete this lengthy period of consolidation in the next few months, or it could potentially take the next few years. And really what happens in terms of the governance is going to have a huge bearing on whether the Indian market breaks up out of this consolidation in the short term or not. So that is one country where politics is going to have a very large impact over the medium term. In Europe today, Italian government bonds rallied and the yields pulled back, and the banks sector was a bit firmer in here today. So it is unwinding some of the short-term oversold condition, and at least it's not continuing to deteriorate. And that was a bit of a tailwind for the European stock markets generally, and the Eurostoxx 50 was up by over 2%, the FTSE was up 1.25%, the CAC and the DAX both up just less than 2%, and last week's weakest markets, both Spain and Italy, were up in excess of 1%. And on Wall Street, the S&P 500 came within 3 to 4 points of its all-time peak and shied away from that level intraday to finish up about 0.5%, and remains here in the region of 1570. And the Dow Jones was up about 0.6%, and continues to extend its advance and is continuing to push on to new high ground. And 15,000 is probably around a phobia level where people will begin to ask questions, but it's still more than 300 points away from that area. What we can say is that Wall Street has been by far the best stock market performer in the last few months, and to the extent that it has pulled back, it has been limited to really ranging phases, and the Dow is breaking up out of a 3-week range in here today, but they are reasonably overextended relative to the MA. And it isn't really a question of if, but when we get a reversionary process that allows some unwinding of that overextension to occur. But there's no evidence of it just yet. And as long as that remains the case, and as long as the progression of higher reaction lows remains in place, then we have to continue to give the benefit of that to the upside. In the commodity markets, with the more positive tone in stock markets, gold in particular pulled back really quite sharply, and it was down over $23, almost $24, and it's back to $1,575. And this is quite similar to what we saw around the same time last year, where gold was in this support building phase for a number of months. But within that support building phase, it held a progression of higher reaction lows. And although on occasion within that range there was a little break in the progression, but it was recouped almost instantly, either the same day or the day after. And if we are in that same situation today with gold, then the $1,550 area will need to hold. And the process of ranging and consolidation that's been going on in gold now for 18 months will need to end. And if that's to end, then it will either break up or break downwards. If it's going to remain consistent, it will break upwards relatively soon, but at present there's very little evidence of that. And when we look at the Dow gold ratio, we've had a substantial compression in that ratio over the last 10 years. Gold went from, or the Dow went from 40 times the price of gold to about 8 at present. But the difference between moving from 40 to 38 versus from 8 to 7 is very large in terms of the percentage moves required to move a single point when you get into single figures. And it does mean that in order for the most bullish prognostications about gold to be proved correct, then we're probably relying on a bubble phase developing. And it is the bubble or the mania hypothesis that one would need to be believing in at present if you think that gold is going to go to 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, or pick a number. And at present, the activity is weak. And the fact that the ETF holdings of gold have fallen below 80 million ounces and continue to deteriorate represents what had previously been a source of demand turning into a source of supply. And the market is struggling at present to absorb that additional supply. There's nothing to say that it won't return, or that demand won't return, and that ETF holdings will continue to increase once more. But until they do, we will have that. That represents a bearish aspect to the market generally. And while gold was down 25 today, silver broke down from its short-term range and extended its decline and was down 75 cents. And palladium was down $15. Platinum was down 24. Oil, which has Brent crude, which has been rallying for the last five consecutive days, paused in here today. And West Texas Intermediate was weaker by about 23 cents. And natural gas, which has been trading above $4 for the first time in over a year for the last couple of sessions, pulled back slightly below that level in here today and is closing out the day at $3.96. In the government bond sector, we've seen really quite impressive rallies across the majority of the government bond prices over the last month. And they're looking a little bit tired at present. US Treasuries got up to 145 in here today and finished out the day closer to 144.5, a little bit lower than that. And 145 represents the progression of lower rally highs. And it would need to sustain a move above that level to question the medium-term downtrend in prices, which the other way around is a medium-term uptrend in yields. And UK gilts, which had perhaps had the biggest rally and got all the way up to 119, close to 120 at one point, closed out the day down a bit, but that's extending the decline of the last few days, and it is overbought in the short term and potential for some higher yields in the UK does look more likely than not. And in the currency markets, the dollar is generally firm, and particularly against the UK pound. The pound is down to 151, and it was weaker today by a full cent and a quarter. And the euro was a little bit weaker in here today. The Australian dollar was a bit stronger against the US dollar and is extending its push back up towards the 105 area. The Aussie dollar has been largely range-bound for about 18 months, and it's pushing up towards the upper side of that range. And while the RBA continues to hold policy hold rates reasonably steady, one can't rule out the possibility that they continue to lower rates. They won't want to see the Australian dollar breaking up out of this range. And if that were to become a risk, we can anticipate that they would print additional dollars, Australian dollars, to ensure that it doesn't happen. And it does look likely that we are going to be locked in this range for a while longer. I've posted the continuous commodity index in here today, and it is worthy of mention because the index has been drifting lower for about the last few months. And it encountered resistance around the 600 area back in September. And even though it had this spectacular rally to reach 600, there's a medium-term progression of lower rally highs. And until it breaks that progression, then the benefit of the doubt can be continued to given to this drifting lower pace that it has held over the last 6 months. But it's being led lower by the industrial metals. And these are coming back now to potential areas of support. But the very fact that they are so weak will have an effect on the decisions at boardrooms in mining companies. They're not going to want to spend huge amounts of money with deteriorating industrial metal prices. And that means that at some point, supply and demand will come back into balance. And that would set us up for the next substantial rally. But we're not going to have that until we see evidence that these are actually going to find support. And we'll need clear upward dynamics to suggest that. And particularly if we see them across a number of these markets at the same time and give us some commonality. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.